Muchas gracias por estar aquí, ya vamos a empezar. Quisiera agradecer a todo el mundo.
Soy Deborah James, del Center for Economic Policy Research. Nos alegra tener a unos invitados tan distinguidos para una audiencia que anticipa el lanzamiento muy emocionante del Banco del Sur, que se verá de manera oficial en Caracas el 3 de noviembre con la participación de, creo yo, casi todos los países de América del Sur, con la excepción de Chile y las Guyanas. Entonces, para que sepan cómo vamos a proceder, yo voy a presentar a cada uno de los panelistas, Marco Aspar, el nuestro director del Centro de Investigaciones Políticas y Económicas. Estamos muy contentos de que el ministro Rodrigo Cabezas, ministro de Finanzas de la República Bolivariana, de Venezuela, esté con nosotros. Esta mañana también tenemos con nosotros al embajador Gustavo Guzmán de Bolivia y estamos intentando comunicarnos con el ministro de Hacienda de Bolivia. También tenemos a Pedro Páez en teléfono, el presidente de la Comisión Precisa Técnica para el Diseño de la Nueva Arquitectura Financiera de Ecuador. Es la persona principal en las negociaciones para el Banco del Sur de parte de Ecuador. Entonces, cada ponente habrá un breve comentario y después vamos a abrir para preguntas primero de personas que están llamando, si es que hay algunos periodistas en la línea, y luego para los que se encuentran aquí. Necesitamos terminar a las 10:15 puntual, así que esperemos que haya un momento para que puedan hablar con el ministro y otros después, pero también porque tenemos otra actividad a las 10:30 y necesitamos llegar a la hora, a buena hora. Entonces voy a pedirle a Mark a que empiece con algunos breves comentarios a manera de introducción y después damos la palabra al ministro. Muchas gracias, me alegra que han podido estar aquí esta mañana y muchas gracias. Voy a ser muy breve. Si desean más información acerca de cualquier tema de estos, lo pueden encontrar en nuestro sitio de internet, en cpr.net. Quisiera agradecer al ministro, al embajador y al ministro Páez y otros que están en teléfono por estar aquí. Estamos muy agradecidos. Quisiera empezar citando algo que ha dicho el presidente de Brasil, Lula da Silva, y él dijo hace una semana lo siguiente. Esto fue captado por Associated Press. Él hizo llamado a los países en desarrollo del mundo a crear nuevas instituciones financieras globales para reemplazar al Banco Mundial y el FMI. Y dijo que los países en desarrollo han de crear sus propios mecanismos financieros en vez de sufrir bajo aquellos del Banco Mundial y el Fondo Monetario Internacional, que son instituciones de países ricos. Dijo que no hay ningún espacio para los países de desarrollo del Banco Mundial en el FMI. Es hora de despertarnos, dijo. Tenemos que tomar una acción más fuerte y la unidad de los países en desarrollo nos va a permitir hacer esta transformación o hacer este cambio. Eso fue el presidente Lula da Silva de Brasil. Necesito destacar esto, pues cuando leo sobre el Banco del Sur, a menudo se describe como el Banco de Chávez, y este es un banco que la gran mayoría de los países y de la población de América del Sur, 7 países y un octavo de Colombia, ahora está solicitando ingresar, está participando de manera que sí pertenece a los países de América del Sur. Y nuevamente debo hacer un contraste entre esto, pero por supuesto nosotros venimos trabajando sobre este tema desde hace unos 10 o 15 años aquí en Washington. La gente ha estado intentando hacer reformas al FMI, al Banco Mundial, y hemos logrado algunas cosas. Ya hay más investigaciones suyas disponibles en el internet. Como economista yo aprecio esto mucho, pero sus políticas no han cambiado. Tienen una larga historia de fracasos, sobre todo en los últimos 10 años, desde Asia, América Latina, Brasil, Argentina, Rusia. casos bien documentados de fracasos en América Latina, como en todo, como muchos de ustedes saben, en el periodo del dominio del FMI hemos visto el peor desempeño de nuestro crecimiento económico en los últimos 26 años, desde hace más de un siglo. Un fracaso en cuanto al crecimiento económico que es inusual en la historia del capitalismo, de esa manera que la gente en su voto ha rechazado estas políticas. Yo creo que la creación del Banco del Sur es otro paso histórico en este proceso que se está dando. Saben que estos esfuerzos regionales, y este no es el único, hay otra iniciativa, el TMI, otra iniciativa monetaria en Asia, y yo creo que los gobiernos están llegando a concluir que si va a haber un cambio en el sistema financiero y en las políticas de desarrollo económico se tiene que dar a nivel regional, pues estas instituciones que son manejadas por Estados Unidos y los países del grupo de los siete en mucho menor grado han mostrado que no van a reformarse. Esto se puede ver obviamente en su negación de permitir a la mayoría de los países del mundo que están exigiendo una voz en la selección del nuevo ejecutivo principal, director gerente en el FMI, y fueron rechazados una vez más. Entonces hay un caso muy fuerte, no es un caso ideológico, pero sí un caso muy práctico en cuanto a reforma para la creación de estas nuevas instituciones. Como ha dicho José Silves, es miembro de nuestro consejo asesor, es buena cosa tener competencia en la mayoría de los mercados, incluso el mercado de préstamos para el desarrollo, y se establece en referencia al Banco de Sur. Entonces ahora le voy a dar la palabra al ministro. Muchas gracias, Mark. First of all, I'd like to thank you for being with us in this press conference, and I'd like to thank the Center for Economic and Policy Research for the opportunity to share some thoughts with a group of sectors interested in this proposal, which began as a proposal and is becoming a reality in coming months. First of all, I'd like to say that the creation of the Banco del Sur, or Bank of the South, isn't against anyone. It is in favor of South America, and particularly in favor of the peoples of South America. The proposal seeks, in effect, to create or to begin to create, well, indeed, the Bank of the South is the first link in a new regional financial architecture, which will probably, in the very short term, will probably be creating our own Latin American Reserve Fund, our regional monetary fund, which could use the $160 billion dollars that South America has in international reserves, putting it to the service, or at the service of development. Initially then, the countries involved and committed, such as Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Ecuador, and Bolivia, and I take the opportunity to greet my Bolivian brother, and of course us. Recently there was public recognition, and Colombia's asked for full incorporation, and any South American country can come in as an equal into the Bank of the South. Any South American country, there's no first tier or second tier countries in the Bank of the South. So as I'm saying, we conceive of the Bank of the South as a bank for financing development. A development bank that South America does not have. We do this in the context of the Union of South American Nations. And that is how it will be born, with the backing of the Union of South American Nations, and the fact that eight republics, eight nations, eight peoples of the 12 that make up the continent is a gigantic step that expresses something that's unprecedented in Latin America, which is the political will for integration. 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was inconceivable and impossible to think about the possibility of creating an institution of this sort. So I can tell you that at this point, when the technical and policy debates that have taken place in the inter-country technical committees and the ministers of finance, the Articles of Incorporation have been signed. They will be signed by the President. I can't show that to you right now. It is at this time before the Presidents and the foreign ministries of the respective countries, nonetheless. It sets forth the nature of the bank as a development bank. It also specified the nature of its governance, which is to say, one country, one vote, and a political organ, which is the Council of Ministers of Finance and Economy. And likewise, in the governing council, the board of governors of each country with that state, in the board of governors, one country, one vote. This is unprecedented. We want to construct it in this manner so that there is no hegemony from the outset or ever within the Bank of the South. And this is a position that Venezuela has supported. And it is clearly to reflect that, well, it's a lie that the Bank of the South is going to be by Chavez, or run by Chavez, for Chavez. It will be a Bank of South America and Venezuela, of course, with its presence and leadership will always have something to say, just as President Hugo Chavez has been doing so in South America in our unprecedented process of change in South America. So this mechanism preserves is a highly democratic in nature in the governance of the Bank of the South, affording sole guarantees to all the countries of South America that they would be able to come in even after it is founded. So Colombia's entry is being facilitated in an extraordinary manner because there's no prerequisite. One must simply meet the condition of being a South American country. And so in that sense, there's no difference as among any of the countries of South America. In addition, the foundational sounding document or articles of incorporation set forth some of its missions, development financing to work for integration, to work in service and integration, to finance projects and programs which in one way or another can help overcome the asymmetries among our within our peoples and among the nations. And then it affirms that there will be financing in the social area, and particularly in terms of financing health and education, well, that will be a major area of financing. The main offices of the South will be in the city of Caracas, and there will also be offices in Buenos Aires and in Bolivia. I understand in La Paz, well, Bolivia will sort that out. Indeed, we've been working very hard on where these fiscal headquarters of the Bank of the South will be in Caracas. It's the Bank of the South will be, well, its physical plant will be very well endowed, but it will also have an excellent technological formation or foundation. The Articles of Incorporation, which summarize the political will of the leaders of South America, is to be signed in November, on November 3rd. and through the foreign ministry, this offense is being confirmed. The most important thing is that there is expressed will to go forward with it, and particularly on the part of the three strongest economies of South America, Brazil, Argentina, and Venezuela. Well, they have their presidents are committed to going forward with it, and it not be a new rhetoric in Latin America or in South America, but rather that its operations can actually start up next year, 2008. At the latest, I myself was a witness to the conversations between the president of my country, Hugo Chavez, and President Luiz Inácio Silva in the city of Manaus recently. And there, the firm political will of both was expressed to go forward with the establishment of the Bank of the South as a historical responsibility that both presidents have to deepen the struggle for equality against inequities, for symmetry and development in South America. I can also tell you that we are at this time working on some technical issues that still need to be addressed. The statute of the bank, the operating statute of the bank, which has been taken up in technical committees, is almost ready. Even so, the question of the capital is still there. There will be a meeting of ministers before this presidential meeting. We're not at zero. Some proposals have already been made in the technical committee. But I can simply say, well, we're handling this with great professionalism to make sure there are no distortions, and we, the finance ministers of South America, have taken an oath to, or sworn to, make a full effort to make the Bank of the South a reality. Nonetheless, we've gone forward on the following ideas. First, the issue of the paid-in capital will be managed on the basis of proportionality. In other words, we all think that the correct thing is to look at each country making a contribution based on its capacity, based on the size of its economy, and therefore we're working on a model that has objective variables, economic and human variables, that allow us to get an idea of how much each one will pay in. And this is to get over the idea that Bolivia and Ecuador would pay in the same capital as Brazil or Venezuela. No, rather we're looking at the capacity and size of the economy and of the population. Second, we agree that the initial contribution should consolidate a full commitment to the Bank of the South on the part of each nation, and therefore the question of paid-in capital and the timing is not going to be coordinated universally. It's up to each country to figure that out. Also, there's a proposal from the Republic of Ecuador, which we've looked upon sympathetically. And this in the context of the paying of capital, and the idea is that as a starting point, each country should pay in as a minimum an amount equal to or greater than what we have in the international multilateral agencies, that is to say World Bank or IMF, for the purpose of sending a clear message that is true and is not illusory or utopian, that South America has taken on the challenge of building a bank. Finally, I'd like to note the following. The Bank of the South, and let there be no doubt about it, is an alternative to the old model of financing. created by the world system as of the 1940s, which is to say, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and it's an alternative because the system which has enabled the countries of South America to lose a great deal of sovereignty, huge degrees of sovereignty. There were some decades, such as the 1980s and 1990s, when the conditions imposed on financing by the World Bank or the IMF, Inter-American Development Bank, were linked expressly to the application of the iron-handed policies of the International Monetary Fund. I don't want to speak for South America here. I speak for my country. I was so thoroughly familiar with it as an economist and as a socialist fighter in 1989. Our country was forced to sign a structural adjustment agreement with the IMF. The Minister of Finance and Planning at the time came here to this capital city to sign it. It wasn't possible to get loans from the World Bank or the Inter-American Development Bank if one did not have the seal of approval of the structural adjustment policy of the IMF. We lost degrees of sovereignty in carrying out a given economic policy. The same thing happened for a second time in 1996 due to economic situations that had not been overcome since 1989. We were forced to sign an agreement, a terrible burdensome agreement with the IMF, which is remembered as the highest levels of inflation in Venezuela. 103%. We've never seen that before in my country. And contrary to sustained economic development, at that time we experienced the worst moments of the economic cycles in Venezuela. No doubt we're very strongly leaving that behind. And looking at the issues that stem from these agreements, the loans that we obtained were absolutely conditioned with penalty clauses that were absolutely humiliating for our economies, and the procedures that ended up favoring suppliers from the United States, and causes which, for bureaucratic reasons, well, it came to pass in the case of my country in the last 3 decades, the last 3 years of the 1990s. There was a loss of capital or decapitalization. Insofar as in those 3 years, we had 14 loans with the World Bank, and due to inefficiency or what have you, Venezuela did not disperse a single cent from the World Bank during those 3 years. And during those 3 years, we had to pay approximately $100 million in penalties to the World Bank. Can you imagine such barbarity? Something like that. That's why I spoke of decapitalization when I spoke in the legislature. Ambassador Bergantel Alcaraz was with me, and people from the left and socialist forces, which were a minority at the time, we made a strong observation about this, saying that this was a terrible process of decapitalization. Now, at the Bank of the South, loans will not be conditioned on any economic policy. No sovereignty of any of the countries will be violated in terms of the governments and peoples deciding what macroeconomic policies to carry out and what social policies to carry out. There will be no such monitoring as that which was required of us by the IMF or the World Bank beforehand or afterwards. There will be no clause for the IMF at the Bank of the South. So, it's an interesting effort. We also think that the conditions have ripened for doing so. We have sufficient resources for doing so. The flows of the surplus, the flows that South America has today, allow us to turn around and build our own architecture, and in this we're going to have a great technical and professional responsibility. Somebody has said that one of the fears is that the Bank of the South may be a bank for extending loans to lost funds. Well, let me assure you that this historical challenge in the process of constituting blocks in the context of globalization, calls on us South Americans to be extremely rigorous technically, professionally, in relation to financial intermediation so as to guarantee that the Bank of the South will be a success. South America is wedded to the idea that it must be successful, and of course in order for it to be successful, well, we are convinced that it must be conducted in a professional fashion. Thank you very much. I know there are many questions. Let me check first to see if the Bolivian minister is on the phone. Minister Arce, are you there? Yes, Pedro Páez is there from Ecuador. Yes, I'm hearing with some difficulty, but I am. Well, I think we've just heard a lengthy explanation of the Bank of the South, and if you could tell us something from the standpoint of Ecuador, we have about 20 journalists here who are raising their hands to ask questions, but if you could say something brief, please. About Ecuador. Yes, Mark Weisbrot and Minister Cabeza's presentations have been very clear and positive in terms of covering the central points of the initiative that we're now building. The Ecuadorian proposal has always insisted on the historical need to make qualitative leaps in South American integration and to move towards a new financial architecture that includes the Bank of the South at the heart of a constellation of new kinds of development agencies. This first, second, we need to move towards developing central banking functions in Latin America around initiatives such as those that Minister Cabezas has announced, that is to say, modernization of the region with functions that would make it possible to carry out economic development tasks, tasks involving reducing structural asymmetries, and these two fundamental pillars need to be linked to a process of convergence towards a common monetary arrangement whose main line could have to do with compensation systems, famous compensation systems around the Latin American front. These issues could now make it possible for the first time in a long history of frustrations and disillusionment around integration efforts to have more solid orientation as to the possibilities of our economies for integration. For coming forward in these national decisions, either in and with intelligent strategies, so as to overcome these decades of constant devaluation that the hemisphere suffered. This point of our financial architecture has to be linked to a series of practical banking measures, including codes of conduct for contractor firms that are going to be participating in biddings with the funds from the Bank of the South. We also need to internalize externalities, especially social and environmental externalities, recovering labor, human rights, and environmental and social conditions, having to do with the increase in local value, and we think it's very important to involve in banking practices and secure measures to avoid overspending in when companies are hired with funding from the Bank of the South. And we need to define a new horizon. And so it's fundamental that we have a new set of priorities from the outset, and unlike previous decades, that we've developed the market, these should put people's living conditions first, and observance of economic, social, and cultural rights of Latin Americans, satisfying basic needs, and from that perspective, it is fundamental that the priorities be pooled sovereignty, energy, sovereignty, establishing a productive apparatus that is programmed as one of our countries in order to provide basic medicines that are accessible so as to guarantee as a fundamental human right for all, healthcare as a fundamental human right for all South Americans. Also, we also need to recover traditional values and ensure new research and development, making it possible to have a long-term development in the new kind of globalization that we must negotiate. And with all of these elements, we need to be sure that recovery, we need to give a sustained push to microfinance, making it possible to create social economic fabric for our peoples. The dynamics of capitalism does not allow our peoples a stable outlook for the reproduction of their lives. We think that these are historic times, because a new moment is coming about in our countries. We are posing this as a necessary but not sufficient condition for acceding to the change that our peoples demand. I think that now, in constructing this new space of sovereignty, in which we, the various countries with different ideologies, are working for, these are state policies to start changing administrations, and in this new space of sovereignty, we are laying the foundation of a better future for our peoples, and likewise the possibility of our hemisphere, or the Latin America, playing a new role in the international scene. I don't want to go on any further, since I understand we're going to open the floor for the journalists, and I'm available for any questions there may be. Thank you very much, Pedro Pais. If I can go on. To concern, is the Bolivian minister? We have here a press conference. They're very anxious. The journalists are to ask their questions. But we would now ask you to say, make a comment, but try to be brief. Thank you very much. I send greetings to. I'm sorry that I'm not able to be there, but from the outset, we have been one of the countries that embraced the proposal to create a bank for Latin America. I'm sorry that I'm not able to be there. Because of my work commitments, I haven't been able to be there, but through this phone conversation, I would like to convey to international public opinion just how pleased Bolivia is for this, this fundamental event, which is going to be historical in terms of international financial arrangements. We are very hopeful about establishing a bank that is in keeping with the logic and the philosophy of Latin American countries on the one hand, and that is going to satisfy demand for loans needed by Latin America at this time, especially Bolivia, which is going through a very special and important situation. We see that the current international institutions have lost sight of the fundamental objective of loans for countries such as Bolivia. We have had debt canceled from international institutions, but concessional loans have been shut down. We now need to take out loans on commercial terms. This is a key for countries such as Bolivia. Second, we are endeavoring to strengthen the nation state, which is very weakened the systemic after the application of neoliberal policies in refugee financing to strengthen the public. The companies, including the public oil company and other public companies, which are not able to get concessional loans in the international markets today, the affordability of this is a good opportunity. So that with other Latin Americans, we can work together to gradually do away with the asymmetries in our countries in terms of poverty and the distribution of income. I also want to know if someone has a chance, but it's important for us is that there will be an office of the Bank of the South in La Paz, and this makes Bolivians and the people of La Paz very happy. We are working to see that this can be made a reality as soon as possible, and we hope that our Latin American brothers and sisters are as happy as we are in giving impetus to economic and institutional integration among our countries. With this launching of the Bank of the South. Thank you very much, Minister. Now we'll go forward with the questions. And finally, breakfast has arrived. An hour later, in case anyone has a hunger issue, it needs to be addressed. Unfortunately, I don't know either.
Oyes. Hello? ¿Aló? ¿Ahora?
Un poquito mejor.
Aquí, la letra.
Y les tengo que decir, ¿se puede presentar el nombre y la institución por la cual viene cuando se hace su pregunta, por favor?
Mauricio Raúl de Tierras. My question is for the Venezuela Minister. I'd like to know how are you going to monitor to see if the countries that draw resources from the Bank of the South are going to return them? If there's not going to be traditional monitoring, and if there's not going to be requirements in terms of economic policies. And now that the Bank of the South is being established, is Venezuela going to follow through and withdraw from the World Bank and the IMF? I was referring to IMF and World Bank monitoring, which is subjugating and provokes indignance among the peoples. Now there will simply be a bank treatment of the loans, and obviously each republic will have the responsibility to address responsibly those loans being given to it. Now this bank is being established to cover public undertakings. It's not going to finance private undertakings, but there's now today a trend at the IDB of the World Bank to see a huge growth of the financing of private. And in terms of IMF and the World Bank, that is a political decision that has been made, that has been suspended, awaiting possible movements of countries of the G24 and that are requiring, that are demanding changes in the IMF, even though Venezuela has no expectation whatsoever that the IMF can be changed. So you might turn back on that decision? Not necessarily.
Pablo
Bachelet, Miami Herald. I had a question on the funding for this bank, the World Bank, the IDB, and the Development Corporation of AAA funds, which can be easily lent at accessible rates in the long term. Where are you going to get funding? Are you going to go to the international markets? What guarantees are you going to extend to investors?
Luis, ¿aló? ¿Aló? Hello.
¿Se fue Pedro o
no puedo profundizar sus feos.
I can't say that much about that because it is now being discussed among the ministers. I could only note that Venus Act first is known from the financial scandal. I think the South will have the amounts that each country is going to pay in. And of course, it will seek to obtain funds, resources from given geographic areas, which we're now discussing, to facilitate the participation of other countries, not in the governance of the bank. Because if there's one thing that's being made quite clear, and it's indicated in the Articles of Incorporation of the Statute, the bank will be conducted and administered by South Americans. But that doesn't deny the possibility, the certain possibility, that we will seek resources for them to be invested in the Bank of the South from other geographic areas.
Patricia
Massi from Voice of America. Together with the Bachelet was saying the bank's needs, will you be issuing bonds, and who will take those bonds? Yes, in the framework of building a new regional financial architecture, we thought about the possibility of the Bank of the South in a monetary financial agreement of its member countries could at some point issue bonds, but thinking particularly of South America, so that South American savings could be channeled to the Bank of the South. Lucy Conger, Revista Institucional de Inversión. Good morning. I have a question about the monetary fund that you're planning to constitute. When would that be launched, more or less? And what do you think would be an adequate amount? And where would you, how would you capitalize from the country's reserves? And another question, you've mentioned the IMF and the World Bank. Your position's clear. Well, excuse me, I'm driving at something else. How does the Bank of the South see the role of the Andean Development Corporation, the IDB, and Brazilian Fund? Would there be complementarity or joint efforts for integration infrastructure, or would there be separate operations? On this fund, I must tell you the following. When we were having discussions, the technical committees and the ministries of finance and economy, Venezuela and Ecuador proposed that technically the Bank of the South could include among its functions and alongside promoting economic development, working to reduce asymmetries, and strengthening integration in general, that it should have a compensatory aspect so as to address external crises in balance of payments and crises generally in the external secondary economies. Initially, that could be matured, moving in the direction of the Bank of the South being able to initially limit itself for reasons having to do with its funding and its creation and its unprecedented experience. It could be due to being a bank fundamentally aimed at promoting Earth's development, fight against asymmetries, and in the context of a profound integration in South America, in the second one, if the link of the South, as we were hoping, would support various successes and accumulate sufficient capital, we would be able to address this matter. Nonetheless, Ecuador through its president, Rafael Correa, Brazil through its president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, recently insisted on the possibility of South America looking at the possibility of working for a Latin American Reserve Fund or a South American or Latin American Monetary Fund. This idea is being backed by Venezuela. And it will help it mature or ripen in our economies and our society, and particularly as regards the political will to make this reality. The reserves of all of our countries are a little bit more than $160 billion, most of them invested outside of our region, outside of South America, that is. So at this time, it's a proposal, it's an idea that still needs to be made into reality. But to the extent that it is shown that it's not possible to transform the International Monetary Fund, that it's not possible for the International Monetary Fund or the seven countries in control, particularly the United States of America, giving us would allow for opening up a possibility for greater democratization in representation of the emerging countries. We have no expectation whatsoever of this, but we're waiting. There's been an issue by the G24, but they've been given a totally negative answer just a few hours ago. To the extent that the International Monetary Fund doesn't give up its historical decision to apply iron hand policies to emerging countries, yet to be generous and benevolent with the developed countries, as has happened with the crisis of the mortgage market in this country, it will, of course, lose all of its credibility and will force the countries, especially in our region, to try to decide that it can't follow anyone's example, but rather to work with other countries of the world who are moving in the same direction. The Asian countries, for example, are moving forward and creating their own monetary fund. As regards to the other institutions, I'm certain that the debates that we have participated in, the National Development Bank of Brazil, or the National Development Bank of Venezuela, the Indian Development Corporation, or the IDB, all of these could be complementary in financing, especially in infrastructure works to support production, and the National Development Banks, where we have the responsibility. I'd like to see if there are any questions by phone. No, that's going back to the question on withdrawal from the bank and the side, would it be correct to say that you're waiting to withdraw to see if the reforms are carried out? Well, there's a decision by the Bolivarian government of Venezuela to initiate a process of disaffiliation from these institutions. Second, this is in the context of the battle for a new regional financial architecture. We're not alone on this planet. We're making an immense effort to work with South America. They Brazil, Argentina, and outside of our region, India has begun a process of transformation. We have said we have no expectations with respect to that. And so, sir, that decision is suspended, not to revert it, because, or revoke it, because, it repeats, there's no possibility of change in the International Monetary Fund. We are bearing witness to a historical fact, which is this is the time in which the multilateral organizations that emerged after the Second World War are on the wing. Practically nobody pays attention to them. Practically nobody is borrowing from them anymore. Minister, you said that for each country, there'd be one country, one vote. So what would the member countries do to come up with common positions? Would that be by consensus? Could you explain the process somewhat? And also, is membership in the Bank of the South exclude membership in other organizations? We have decided that the governance will be on the basis of consensus, and South America is assuming that, should assume that challenge. And this is unprecedented compared to the agencies that exist today. Second, it's non-exclusionary. A country from South America can form any part of whatever organization. For example, Venezuela will continue to play an active role in the Energy Development Corporation and will continue to play an active role in the American Development Bank, even though there are very strong criticisms. But we have some expectations that one could work on development money for South America. Liliana Garcia, Reuters, America. Could you confirm whether inflation in Venezuela for this year is 15%? And could you also tell me what the Minister of Energy, could you confirm what the Minister of Energy said, that a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party is one of the 9 members of the planning group in Miraflores. Flores. Would this be interference in Venezuela's affairs? Someone from the Chinese Communist Party who said that a minister of energy said this. He said that Li Chanchong, who is a member of the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party, is one of the 9 members of the Central Planning Committee at Miraflores Palace. First of all, on inflation, Venezuela, the government, has a goal, and it's been my custom to not talk about anything other, even though it's very difficult to achieve that. Our inflation target is 12%, and we've made a major effort to do so at this time. The cumulative figure is 10.3, I believe. But it's not what the 3 or 4 most prestigious right-wing economists have announced, which is they said it was 30 or 35% at mid-year. And I understand, I've come to learn that these are advisors of the rating agencies, and that's why they've given us such a brutal rating. They have an apocalyptic view of the Venezuelan economy, which isn't true. And the question something was given to the assembly about 15% of the projection. As regards to that question, I just want to tell you the following. Not as an individual, but as a Minister of People's Power for Finance, I am in the decree establishing the Central Committee for Planning, which was issued by the President of the Council of Ministers. And we have held no fewer than 30 meetings at the Central Committee on Planning from early morning hours in order to produce our petrochemical plan, our gas plan, our plan for the 100 socialist factories, Alma Madaman to create 23 new higher institutions of higher studies or university institutions all in the next 6 to 7 years, our core plans. And all of us who've been there have been Venezuelan ministers. Well, the minister Remy has said, well, I don't know what he said. That was in El Pakistan. We have excellent relations. We can get excellent communication and relations with the People's Republic of China. But as a member of that committee, 32 meetings. Last question, please, and then we need to close that. Will there be opportunities for other countries such as the Dominican Republic, Cuba, and Mexico in the Bank of the South? The consensus that has been reached by the 7 participating countries that have made the commitment is that it will be a South American bank. It's the Bank of the South. It wasn't possible to agree that its scope should take in the Caribbean and Central America, but that doesn't deny the possibility of these countries making contributions. But I don't know. For the initial moment, the consensus is that this should be the Bank of South America in terms of its governance and its leadership and management. Thank you very much. Sorry, we need to close out for that event. I'd like to thank all of you for being here. If anyone else has a question, I think you can pick up my card and we can be in touch by email.